Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
A reading from the New Testament, Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here ends our reading for today. Thanks be to God.
Hello all, and welcome to South Britain Congregational Church. I'm so excited to be with you today. I'm excited to get to know you all as soon as I can and as safely as I can. But I'd love to just open this time of worship in prayer. So let's be in a spirit of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear God, we do thank you for the technology and the ability to connect with each other, to hear your words of encouragement in the scriptures, and to know that we, though we can't be together, we are together. So we ask for your presence today. We ask for your love and your care in your Son's name. Amen. I remember with our first daughter getting ready to take her home from the hospital and being a new dad and the excitement and the stress of getting the car seat in, and my overcaffeinated mind took me a lot longer to get it in than I thought it was going to. And then getting the baby into the car and driving the 2 miles back to our house at about 12 miles an hour, so it took us about half an hour to get home. Then arriving and making sure the house was warm, and then in the home, safe. And then after all of that, sitting on the couch and holding the baby and then wondering, what do we do now? What are we supposed to do now? And I learned quickly what we were supposed to do: the sleeping, changing, feeding, changing, sleeping, bathing, changing, and repeat. And I feel like this question, what do we do now, is a question for us. And the scripture today has an answer for that. After the excitement of Easter and Jesus' resurrection, and after Jesus has ascended, and Pentecost, the birth of the church, and Peter and the disciples are speaking in tongues and proclaiming the gospel to all the people, and that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior, what happens now? What does the day-to-day look like for the church? And this kind of parallels nicely for us, because we're kind of wondering similarly with this pandemic, what do we do now? What does the church do now in the time of social distancing? Well, brothers and sisters, the good news is the passage this morning from Acts gives us some helpful insights into this. It gives us four areas that we can dive into and that we can work, whether we can be in the pews next to each other or if we need to be away. But before we get into the specifics of the scripture for today, it begins by saying not only did they do these things, but they devoted themselves to these things. What does it mean to be devoted? Well, we may know it from love letters or the musical, if you like musicals, Grease. You know, I'm hopelessly devoted to you, Olivia Newton-John. We hear devoted, but what does it mean in this context? It comes from the Latin root that really means to vow or promise. It means to be energetic in relationship to. So for each of these four things that the early church focused on, we got to be committed to them, using our energy to make them happen. And please know all these are so deep, and I'm sure over time we'll go deeper. But especially for this morning, we need to be reminded and encouraged in them specifically, and wonder together, how do we do them in this time and place in the situation that we find ourselves in? So hopefully this will answer the question, what do we do now? The four things they devoted themselves to are the apostles' teachings, fellowship, prayers, and the breaking of bread. Let's look at these all a little more closely. The Apostles' teaching. The great theologian Karl Barth said, "In the Church of Jesus Christ, there can and should be no non-theologians." What Karl understood and what we must understand is how we make sense of God defines and guides how we live and what we do and all the choices we make. So it makes sense that the early church would focus in on this. So what is this exactly? We know the apostles and we know teaching, but what is Luke talking about? Well, it wasn't the Bible because they didn't have the Bible yet. They started writing the Gospels, saving the letters because the apostles and disciples started dying off. And they realized they needed these accounts that they had been hearing firsthand. And so they started to write these things down. We also know that this wasn't teaching the ways that we maybe know from our experience of education. I had a seminary professor who was an amazing writer, but not such a great teacher. For theology class, he would lecture for an hour and a half, take 10-minute breaks, and then another hour of nonstop lecture. He even told the same joke 4 weeks in a row and didn't even know that he had told the joke 4 weeks in a row. And I'm sure a lot of you out there have had similar kind of classes where that you didn't probably learn as much because it didn't connect to your life. It didn't connect into what was going on for you. But that's not what we're talking about here. This is not like that for the early believers to sit uncomfortably in desks and hear someone talking to them, speaking at them. The teaching of the apostles was an interactive and exciting and relational because that's the way Jesus taught them. If he saw a field of grain, he used that to teach. He cared about people. He cared about their hearts, and so he taught them out of that. The apostles did this too because that's how they learned. And it didn't revolve around knowing facts and exact details. It was relational. This was the disciples who had been with Jesus, had seen him in action, sharing what they had found to be helpful and also what they found to be important in their life. So how do we devote ourselves to this? We have such amazing access. We can dive into the Bible each day. There's so many ways to do this. Maybe a lot of you are already doing this, but if you have a Bible you like and a translation, just dive into it. Our church website, I don't know if you've gone on, but every single day there's a scripture verse for that day. And you can go back and look at the one from before and the one forward. The UCC has emails that send out devotionals. Maybe you have a devotional at home. There are so many options. You can get a copy of the Bible on your phone. It's amazing. So this one is particularly easy for us. But my advice to us all is know ourselves. Make it as easy as possible. If you need something emailed to you in the morning because otherwise you won't get to it, click on the button and have it emailed to make it as easy as possible. Put the book in a place where you know you'll look at it and read it. Just know yourself and find the way to make that easiest for you. And in this time, know that I'm here and I want to explore what Bible study could look like at a distance, you know, online or even over the phone, or we read on our own and then kind of send our questions or things to each other and talk to each other. So I want you to know that now that I'm here, I want to be on that. That's something that I'm passionate about, I'm excited about. And so there'll be more of that to come. You can read church history, theology, literature, poetry, whatever brings you closer to God and gives you life, it fits into this teaching of the apostles. It fits into this category. Importantly, devoting ourselves to the teaching is more than just reading and chewing on it. I've always found, and I'm sure other people, that reading something and then talking about it with people that I like to talk to or have their perspective and their experiences, they bring it all in, really adds to my understanding. And so we need to find ways to not only read it in a bubble, but also use it as an exchange, an interchange between each other. So what do we do now? We can devote ourselves in a new way, in a different way, into the apostles' teaching. The next important thing the early church focused on was fellowship. I saw a great quote online that said about all the shelter in place. So we have to stay home and not interact with people. I'm an introvert. I've been preparing for this my whole life. Though we may not all need the same interactions, we as Christians need community. We need each other to do this life of faith. The poet John Donne said, "No man is an isle unto himself." And that applies to the introverts and extroverts in this life of faith. Most churches have fellowship committees. One church I serve, they renamed themselves officially in the bylaws, the party people. We know this word, fellowship. Growing up in the church, we had this fellowship time after church that we had to drag my mother away from because she used that as a time to connect with everyone that she possibly could. Though the idea of fellowship is true, what Paul is saying here is a little bit more deep. The Greek word is koinonia, and it occurs 20 times in the New Testament in different forms. And this Acts passage is the first time it appears. This word means community, and community is more than just getting together or living near each other or the town or the city that you live in. It means going deeper. It means caring for each other. It means helping each other in hard times and celebrating the good. It means laughing and crying with each other. It means being weak and vulnerable as much as it means being strong. It is the essence of what the church is called to be. It is belonging and inviting, being part of something greater for the greatest purpose. We need this fellowship / community to grow, learn, to be able to do this life of faith. It is caring and loving each other and being a part of each other's lives. It's more than casual small talk. It's saying, I care for you, and doing things that show and demonstrate that. So how do we do this? We reach out. We call. We text. We send a voice message just to let people know that we're thinking of them. We plan and intentional about planning time to talk to each other, not just small talk, but also asking how people are doing, how you're processing, what you're thinking about in this time. We trust in the Holy Spirit. If we think that, you know, we know someone who might need something, if you go to the grocery store and you're shopping, pick up an extra item of the thing that you enjoy in this time. Not toilet paper, though, because people won't believe you're buying it for anybody else. But anything else other than toilet paper would be okay. But other items that you know you enjoy, just drop it off. Let's not wait to be asked by people, but just really trust that God will show us what people need. It's the intentional act of putting ourselves in others' position and thinking about how to care for them best. And let me tell you, you as a church, you're already doing this. And I'm very proud to be the new pastor at this church. I've seen the deacons and members who are helping to go get groceries for members who don't feel comfortable or don't feel okay going to the grocery store. The church is giving out free masks in a time when people are price gouging for masks. What better way to show the community that we care for them, that we're here for them? There's already a strong community here, and I see it in this difficult time. So let's keep growing in that as a church. Even if we can't be next to each other, let us keep remaining near to each other. So what do we do now? The apostles' teaching, fellowship, and with that, prayer. Prayer should be first on the list and last and middle. It's that important. What do we think of when we think of prayer? Well, there's a story of a kid who was getting in trouble in church, and the dad takes him under his arm and starts walking out. And the church is kind of ignoring what's going on, but all of a sudden the kid stops yelling and looks at his Sunday school teacher and says, "You better pray for me." That's one of our understandings of prayer. But we need prayers right now, the world, the community. We can't be doing this enough. How do we do this? We can pray over the phone for each other. Yes, it can be done. It's a little bit different, right? Maybe if we haven't done it before, but we can pray over the phone. God uses phones to pray for people. I've known people who have pictures of the people they want to pray for on a little basket, and as they walk by, they grab a picture and they look at the picture of the person, and it reminds them to pray for them. Even if they don't know exactly what they need prayer for, they still bring them into their mind. I bet some of you here are thinking, but Pastor Malcolm, this is not something I'm used to or feel comfortable with, and that's okay. I have something else for you. Here's something the early church did and that Paul did. They read the Psalms as prayer. Not only are they songs, beautiful songs, and poems, but they're prayers. So you can just open up your Bible, and if you open up halfway in any Bible, the Psalms usually open right up. And just read those as your prayers. Or get a prayer book of the saints. Maybe you're Roman Catholic, or you are, you know, connected with people from the Roman Catholic tradition. They have great prayer books of the early church fathers and mothers and prayers throughout the time. So just if you don't feel comfortable with your own prayers, use people who wrote these prayers as kind of a jumping off point. We can go so deep into this area of prayer, and it's a huge idea, but the nuts and bolts of it is this. We can walk and pray, garden and pray, cook and pray, bake and pray, knit and pray, run and pray, pray and pray, pray. You catch my drift. This doesn't have to be done any particular way. We're all different. We all pray in different ways. But the praying helps us to process maybe our worry or our thoughts, helps us to feel connected to the divine in a time that might be hard for some of us. Prayer goes with everything, and prayer covers everything. So the teaching, the apostles, fellowship, and prayer, and finally one that is so appropriate for today. What do we do now? we do the breaking of the bread. This was a very important one to the life of the early church, and remains so to this day. We get to do this one together this morning. For the early church, this was actually a meal where they would go and be at each other's homes. For us, it's one of the sacraments. It's a visible sign of something invisible. Communion is a very powerful thing. It means so much. It means so many different things to us. It can be a joyful taste of the banquet that's going to be in heaven. It can be a time to be reminded that we are loved and forgiven. It can be a time to reconnect with God and each other. The amazing thing is that I'm sure that we could ask each other, what do you believe about communion when we take communion? And we would have a bunch of different perspectives, but that's the power of God. So we will keep doing communion the first Sunday of the month for sure. And don't worry about what kind of bread you have or the juice that you're using. When I was a youth pastor, one youth asked me a very deep question, can you do communion with Coca-Cola and cookies? I said, if that's all you have, God will use it. If that's all you have, then that would be fine. And so it's the same thing in your house. Don't worry about like the right juice or the right kind of bread. It's unleavened. The big thing is the heart of it. God knows our heart, and the act of doing communion that we are intentional about, remembering who Christ is and what Christ means to us. This idea ties nicely into the idea of fellowship. Though we can't eat together yet, how can we honor the idea of breaking bread together? Well, we can prepare the same thing or more than one of the same dish and drop it off to someone. Or we can have a church night where we all make some kind of pasta, and so we're all eating pasta at the same night, just so we stay connected in that. So there's lots of different ways. So as we do communion this morning, let's be mindful of why we're doing it, and that we know by God's power and through God's Spirit, we're connected not just to each other, but to people all over the world who are going through something similar. Now, these four things can be what we do now. And as we're able to reopen the church and things change, we'll morph and change, but at least we can be doing these things even now. But let us remember that this is not a checklist, you know, for each day where you wake up and I read the Bible and I texted someone, you know, and I prayed. I'm batting 750, you know, I'm three out of four, which ain't bad. But our life of faith is never a checklist. It's not something to ever just be done, check it off and be done. It's an opportunity to grow. In the Bible passage, it says day by day, that it's always good advice to us to take things day by day. Let's choose one thing to focus on this week, one of these areas, just see how it goes. Very simply, all these things are made, used, done to help us grow closer to God. And in doing that, it allows us to grow closer to each other. So let us devote ourselves to trying different things in this time. But please believe that doing these things as a church will give us greater peace on the horizontal level with each other and on the vertical level, which is the divine. I love how the Acts passage ends because it says focusing on this will make things better. If you know how the book of Acts ends, things actually don't go very well for Paul and Peter and persecution and all these shipwrecks and all these other things. But by devoting ourselves to these things, even if our situation has not changed, and it has not, we're still in the same situation we find ourselves in. But devoting ourselves to these things will make our hearts change. And when that changes, it has the power to change the world around us. Thank you again for letting me journey with you all. And may God be with you. And if you need anything, up here. Amen.